Welcome to disc number 3 of the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John C. Maxwell. Copyright 2007, published by Thomas Nelson.
Law number 15, the law of victory. Leaders find a way for the team to win. Have you ever thought about what separates the leaders who achieve victory from those who suffer defeat? I think that victorious leaders have one thing in common. They share an unwillingness to accept defeat. The alternative to winning is totally unacceptable to them. As a result, they figure out what must be done to achieve victory. Crisis seems to bring out the best and the worst in leaders, because at such times the pressure is intense and the stakes are high. That was certainly true during World War II, when Adolf Hitler was threatening to crush Europe and remake it according to his vision. But against the power of Hitler and his Nazi hordes stood a leader determined to win, a practitioner of the law of victory, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill. He inspired the British people to resist Hitler and ultimately win the war. Winston Churchill was a courageous leader who had practiced the law of victory throughout his life. He refused to buckle under the Nazis' threats. For more than a year, Great Britain stood alone facing the threat of German invasion. When Hitler indicated that he wanted to make a deal with England, Churchill defied him. When Germany began bombing England, the British stood strong, and all the while Churchill looked for a way to gain victory. Time after time, Churchill rallied the British people. It began with his first speech after becoming Prime Minister, in which he said, "We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many long months of struggle and of suffering. You ask, what is our policy? I can say, it is to wage war by sea, land, and air, with all our might and with all the strength that God can give us, to wage war against a monstrous tyranny, never surpassed in the dark, lamentable catalogue of human crime. That is our policy. You ask, what is our aim? I can answer in one word. Victory. Victory at all cost. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory however long and hard the road may be. For without victory, there is no survival." When Churchill sought the aid of Franklin Roosevelt, he was enlisting a leader who had practiced the law of victory for decades. It was a hallmark of Roosevelt's entire life. He had found a way to achieve political victory while winning over polio. When he was elected president and became responsible for pulling the American people out of the Great Depression, it was just another impossible situation that he learned how to fight through. And fight he did. Through the 1930s, the country was slowly recovering, due in a large part to his leadership. To Churchill and Roosevelt, victory was the only option. If they had accepted anything less, the world would be a very different place today. Pulitzer Prize-winning historian Arthur Schlesinger Jr. noted, "Take a look at our present world. It is manifestly not Adolf Hitler's world. His thousand-year Reich turned out to have a brief and bloody run of a dozen years. It is manifestly not Joseph Stalin's world, that ghastly world self-destructed before our eyes. Without Churchill and England, all of Europe would have fallen. Without Roosevelt and the United States, it might never have been reclaimed for freedom. But not even an Adolf Hitler and the army of the Third Reich could stand against two leaders dedicated to the law of victory. Whether it's a sports team, an army, a business, or a nonprofit organization, victory is possible as long as you have three components that contribute to a team's dedication to victory. Number one, unity of vision. Teams succeed only when the players have a unified vision, no matter how much talent or potential there is. A team doesn't win the championship if its players are working from different agendas. That's true in professional sports. That's true in business. That's true in nonprofits. Number two, diversity of skills. It almost goes without saying that a team needs diversity in skills. Can you imagine a whole hockey team of goalies or a football team of quarterbacks? How about a business where there are only salespeople or nothing but accountants, or a nonprofit organization with just fundraisers, or only strategists. It doesn't make sense. Every organization requires diverse talents to succeed. Number three, a leader dedicated to victory and raising players to their potential. It's true that having good players with diverse skills is important. As former Notre Dame head football coach Lou Holtz says, "You've got to have great athletes to win. I don't care who the coach is. You can't win without good athletes, but you can lose with them." This is where coaching makes the difference. In other words, you also require leadership to achieve victory. Unity of vision doesn't happen spontaneously. The right players with the proper diversity of talent don't come together on their own. It takes a leader to make those things happen. It takes a leader to provide the motivation, empowerment, and direction required to win. One of the most noteworthy success stories I've come across is that of Southwest Airlines' Herb Kelleher, whom I mentioned in the chapter on the Law of Connection. The company's story is an admirable example of the Law of Victory in action. Today, Southwest looks like a powerhouse that has everything going for it. In the routes where it flies, it dominates the market. The company is on a steady growth curve, and its stock performs extremely well. It is the only U.S. airline that has earned a profit every year since 1973, even as other airlines have gone bankrupt and disappeared. It is the only airline that has thrived in the wake of 9/11. Employees love working there. Turnover is extremely low, and the company is considered to have the most productive workforce in the industry. And it's extremely popular with customers. Southwest gets consistently superior customer service ratings. It has maintained the fewest overall customer service complaints in the industry since 1987. Given Southwest's current position, you might think it has always been a powerhouse. That's not the case. In fact, it's a testament to the Law of Victory that the company even exists today. The airline was begun in 1967 by Roland Keane, owner of a small commuter air service in Texas, John Parker, a banker, and Herb Kelleher, an attorney. But it took them 4 years to get their first plane off the ground. And as soon as the company incorporated, Braniff, Trans-Texas, and Continental Airlines all tried to put it out of business. And they almost succeeded. One court battle followed another, and one man, more than any other, made the fight his own. Herb Kelleher. When their startup capital was gone and they seemed to be defeated, the board wanted to give up. However, Kelleher said, "Let's go one more round with them. I will continue to represent the company in court, and I'll postpone any legal fees and pay every cent of the court cost out of my own pocket." Finally, when their case made it to the Texas Supreme Court, the trio won, and they were at last able to put their planes in the air. Once it got going, Southwest hired experienced airline leader Lamar Muse as its new CEO. He in turn hired the best executives available. And as other airlines kept trying to put them out of business, Kelleher and Muse kept fighting in court and in the marketplace. When they had trouble filling their planes going to and from Houston, Southwest began flying into Houston's Hobby Airport, which is more accessible to commuters because of its proximity to downtown. When all the major carriers moved to the newly created Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, Southwest kept flying into convenient Love Field. When the airline had to sell one of its four planes to survive, the executives figured out a way for their remaining planes to be on the ground no longer than an amazingly short 10 minutes between flights. That way, Southwest could maintain routes and schedules. And when they couldn't figure out any other way to fill their planes, they pioneered peak and off-peak pricing, giving leisure travelers a huge break in the cost of fares. Through it all, Kelleher kept fighting and helped keep Southwest alive. In 1978, 7 years after he helped put the company's first small fleet of planes into the air, he became chairman of the company. In 1982, he was made president and CEO. Today, he serves as executive chairman of the board. He and his colleagues continue to fight and find ways for the company to win. Southwest's president, Colleen Barrett, sums it up. "The warrior mentality, the very fight to survive, is truly what created our culture. What Kelleher, Barrett, and the rest of the Southwest leadership team have is not just a will to survive, but a will to win. Leaders who practice the Law of Victory believe that anything less than success is unacceptable." They have no plan B. That is why they keep fighting, and it's why they continue to win. What is your level of expectation when it comes to succeeding for your organization? How dedicated are you to winning your game? Are you going to have the law of victory in your corner as you fight, or when times get difficult, are you going to throw in the towel? Your answer to that question may determine whether you succeed or fail as a leader, and whether your team wins or loses.